What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Kicks and Picks podcast. Nick, Scotty, Coach Steve, back with you today. And we are going to kind of go all over the place, give you guys a little bit of an update on the leagues, our thoughts on the Champions League. We got European action coming at you. But let's start off with the bad news. Absolutely disastrous week. I think we finished with six straight losses, or five out of six.
It was ugly.
I was hyped. We started off Friday and Saturday, hit the pod lock. I was tweeting it out, bragging, and then couldn't get anything going after that. I mean, man, I think that Roma game hurt. I think every single game that I had, I went 0-3. I was a goal short in every single game. And it wasn't like, oh, okay, you know, it happens. It was like Man City who, silly me, just kind of, I don't know, sleptwalked through a game where they still managed to get two goals, but like they very easily could have had five and they just never went for that third one once they got the second.
They didn't really play with the urgency of like, hey, like we basically have a clear path to the title. We just have to like, you know, win these five winnable games that are left on our schedule.
Right.
They really just kind of showed up. I think they had one goal going into like the 70th minute and then Haaland got the second one, which really kind of finished it off. But against Forest, who have been pretty bad, you know, the last two or three months, kind of an unfortunate showing on our behalf for City. We deserved more, I think.
Yeah, so that was a bummer. I had Lazio who won their game, but we needed a second goal. They hit two posts. They had Pedro miss a like completely unmarked, wide-open goal right in front of the net. One of those games. I had a Cagliari team who we needed a goal from them, and I think they had like 11 shots and like a over 1 XG. Couldn't get that done. So definitely one of those weekends. But we are still numerically up on the season, 158, 152. We are up 9.2 units calendar year 2024. So last week put a little bit of a dent in that, but we will go onwards and upwards. Let's get quickly into some reactions here. This was a Champions League week. We're recording this Wednesday night, so both games have been played. Dortmund, 1-0 win, taking care of PSG at home today. Bayern, Real Madrid, 2-2 draw. Definitely an exciting game. Scotty, I'll toss it up to you, whichever one you want to talk about first, or if you want to talk about both. But what are your immediate reactions on these two games?
I mean, two completely different style of plays between, you know, the game yesterday and the game today. You know, having a 2-2 game. I know there's a couple penalties in the Bayern and Madrid game, but still, like, definitely a more open game. Definitely the more entertaining one for neutrals to watch. You know, we were watching the Dortmund game a little bit together on the group chat, and it was like, has this game even started? Like we were, you know, mostly through the first half. I think the first goal is like in the 35th or 40th minute, somewhere around there. But we're like half hour in, like this game doesn't really even feel like much has happened, especially considering the style of play that both PSG and Dortmund typically employ. It's kind of a quiet match. And surprisingly, you know, Dortmund getting the 1-0 advantage going into the second leg. I've often said I'm banned myself from betting on PSG in the Champions League because I always get it wrong. And coach asked me this morning, you know, what's the pick? What are we liking today? And I said, I know I like PSG, but I'm banned, so I'm not going to do it. And thank God I did, because I was kind of surprised by that. You know, I think going into this, Dortmund were like still +800, +900 on the future for the team that's basically, you know, 1.5 games away from being in the final. Pretty crazy. I mean, PSG's is we're used to them kind of choking away in the Champions League, and I thought they had a pretty clear path, but man, they continue to surprise me.
Yeah, I actually said I like Dortmund draw no bet at
you did.
Home. I like Dortmund at home, and I was like, well, is that me just being biased? Because you know, I don't think PSG's a Champions League.
Say side. It. Hey, wait. This podcast not has been no. Say it. Type, say it.
Champions League winning type.
We've been on stuff. That from the very yeah. start of the Champions League from and, the group stage. Yeah. So brag about it.
I like Dortmund. They bit me in on the weekend. They went up 1-0 in that match against Leipzig, and there I was really quick texting the group like, oh, 1-0, like solid, right? Because I had them +1, and then they kind of capitulated and. Maybe their eyes were looking ahead to PSG. And if they were, I mean, more power to them because they came out and got a result today. I didn't get to watch the match. I checked the stats literally, I don't know, like the 35th minute or so when I had a free moment. I was like, I texted you guys. I was like, doesn't look like much is happening in this match. And then literally like 2 minutes later, the goal alert comes through for the Fulkering goal. Ended up being the only goal of the match. Not the match you'd expect, a 1-0 type scoreline. I'm curious to see how Dortmund is able to manage that on the road at the Parc des Princes next week. Maybe, you know, for PSG, they feel, all right, we got out of there just down one goal and we could take care of business at home. We'll see. But I'm kicking myself for not taking Dortmund money line because I really did like them. And even draw no bet, I think, was pretty close to even. And then the match yesterday.
Wait, let's pause on that game. I'm sorry. Yeah. I got a little too ahead of myself. Let's pause on that game because we're talking about it. First and foremost, I want to like reclip last week when you took Dortmund, because I thought it was just like an absolutely insane pick at the time. And I don't like to disagree with my boys. I'm rooting for everybody, but I'm like, no. If there's any team this week that is absolutely going to mail in their weekend game, it seemed like Dortmund to me. And you know what? Looks like it was, I'm not saying that's what they did, but looks like it was the right decision. They have to be given credit. And I think we're at the stage of the Champions League with all these teams that are left. Like, this is obviously what they have to play for, right? Not only at this stage of the competition, but because everything else is pretty much locked up, right? In Germany, neither of these teams could win the league. You know, Real pretty much has their league sewn up. PSG has already won the league on, which they always do. But we got to give Dortmund credit. Got out of the group of death. They obviously made it to the semifinal. They have been an absolute force at home. They get timely. Like, they haven't dominated in a game that I remember, but they get these timely fucking goals. And they're doing what good teams in the Champions League do and taking that home field advantage. I think they've done it just about every game they've played at home. I don't have their home record in front of me, but man, it's got to be outstanding. So full credit to them. And then same thing with PSG. Listen, I'm number one PSG hater. I do not ever want them to see them win the Champions League. And I thought they might falter last round. They pulled it out. Now I'm hoping they falter this round. I mean, you made a good point, coach, going home. I don't expect Mbappe to have two bad games in a row. You know, it could be a different story, but it's going to be a hell of an interesting match. And, you know, I'm enjoying the current PSG Champions League DNA as it sits. That said, I shared a bet with you guys. I didn't tweet it out because I wasn't super confident. I just wanted to bet the game to bet it. I had a first half goal and I had PSG double chance, and that went nowhere.
Should have taken my Dortmund double chance with that first half goal. You would have cashed it. But play a little game here. We like to do this with the lines. I'm going to do this with Dortmund's home record. What do you think in, let's see, it's 15 home Bundesliga matches. I only have Bundesliga pulled up, but what do you think their home record is in 15 matches?
I'm going to say they have 11 wins.
I was going to go 11-2 and what's that? 2? Yeah, 11-2 and 2.
So surprisingly, they have been much better on the road in the Bundesliga, which is very surprising because they usually play very well at home, especially in Europe, we've noticed. 8 wins, 3 draws, 4 losses at home. Only the 6th best Bundesliga record. On the road, they have the 2nd best Bundesliga record, only behind undefeated Bayer Leverkusen, 8 wins, 6 draws, 2 losses on the road. So interesting dynamic there.
Coach, maybe I can find a lock for you then, because Dortmund will be at home this weekend, probably resting players for the midweek. They're hosting Augsburg. Augsburg double chance is plus 110.
Don't know how much I trust Augsburg. That's the other side of it. If they were playing someone a little bit better, I think I'd fade them this week at home, but I don't know if Augsburg is a team to fade them with.
All right, well, then take Dortmund double chance. Actually, no, never mind. That's not as good. I thought Dortmund double chance was minus 165, and that's minus a quarter, so I took
that
wrong.
A different Bundesliga pick for later on. But speaking of the Bundesliga, because I don't watch it a whole ton, but I do bet it quite a bit on here as my locks, and I've done.
You watch it all the time. Like I watch. You are the greatest Bundesliga watcher I know.
Not like I watch Serie A, right? I'm in that context is what I mean. But it's a league I like to bet on. It's a fun league to bet on. And in a year that Leverkusen is playing my Roma tomorrow, looking to go to the Europa League final, we could have an all Bundesliga final in the Champions League for a year that really for Bayern and Dortmund domestically is a down season for both. Yeah. Right. Which is kind of crazy when you think about it. You know, Madrid's doing their thing in Spain and PSG's doing their thing in France like they do. And they're both going to win league titles. But not who you'd probably expect in terms of like, if any year Bayern was going to make a final, this would probably not be the year you expect if they do get by Madrid, which would be tough at the Bernabeu. but definitely a different dynamic. And yet, and yesterday, it that match ended up 2-2. Scotty and I both had, you know, those specials on DraftKings, 4-leg parlay. I had another 3-legger on FanDuel yesterday. I played them both, tweeted both out, and I was within one pick of both, which was like, oh, so close.
It's probably always the Rodrigo pick you don't want to put in there, right? Because like you need a fourth, so you're scrounging to get that fourth fucking leg, and it always sucks.
I
can
tell you the FanDuel one, the third one I put in, I was like, let me try something different, and they have the option for goalkeeper saves as part of their SGP, which I'd never seen on DraftKings. Unless I've really searched for it, I maybe I've missed it. But it was like 3 saves from the Bayern keeper from Neuer. And I was like, all right, they should get 3 shots on target. They finished with 2. I hit the other 2 legs because it was Vinny and goaler assist and Kane anytime goal score, which the penalty locked that up easy. Vinny had himself a game, we know. That's a guy we sometimes will just bet straight up always. For goal or assist because he's usually plus money in the Champions League somehow and still always comes up big in these matches. And the other one was a Rodrigo shot. And Rodrigo, I remember, tore it up in the previous knockout round. So it's like one shot on target out of him should be money. Didn't get it. And that's what cost him. He drew the penalty that Vinny ended up converting, right? If he maybe doesn't get tripped, maybe he gets a shot on target. Who knows? Whatever it is. But that was obviously the more entertaining match. I listened to the second half of that one on my commute home on Sirius. And that was actually entertaining to listen to.
Yeah.
So I'm sure to watch was even better.
And I'll go before you, Scott, if you don't mind. I think, listen, anybody, if you're new to the show, we are big believers in Real Madrid on this podcast, especially in the Champions League. We rode them 2 years ago. We had that future. We bet on them last year. We bet on them this year. So, you know, we're always happy about that. But they are like inevitable in the Champions League. Like this was a game where I didn't think they played particularly well. Now, full credit to Bayern. Bayern, over the last 3 legs of Champions League, pretty much turned their dismal season around. At least now they have something kind of to go back with, and you could chalk it up to, hey, Leverkusen hasn't lost a game all year, deserved to win the league. We've been down, but man, in the Champions League, Bayern has, you know, they've righted some wrongs, so to speak. They were at home, was always going to be tough. But I have to give more credit to Real Madrid than I do to Bayern, because traveling away, not really having a ton of the ball, not having really that many good chances, they just get the goals that they need to get. And now they're going to go home and know that a win is going to take them into the final. You can't ask for much more. You know, we hit our play on that game. Happy about that, of course, but I respect to Real, and they've kind of done this without really a forward all year, like a striker all year.
Yeah. And I think the key part of this is that, you know, Real got that penalty late in the game that brought everything level, and I think that's a big momentum killer, right? Yep. I think Bayern, if you get a 1-goal lead and you're going back to Madrid, like you have a little bit of you know you feel good about yourself. You're like, hey, listen, like we can keep up with these guys, like we just have to play our best game and like we can, you know, pull this out and make it to the final. But I think that kind of, it's deflating because, you know, obviously it's so late in the game, you know, going level and needing to actually now win in Madrid, that's like a whole different, you know, level of ask here. And I think, like you guys said, like I don't think Madrid played particularly well. They, you know, Bayern probably could and maybe should have won by like, you know, more than just 1 goal. And they couldn't quite get that done. So I think they might even view this as more of like a missed opportunity than anything. Like realistically, with the way that Madrid showed up with Bayern at home, you know, they should have capitalized and taken, you know, a 2 or 3, you know, goal lead potentially, not 3, but, you know, a 2-goal lead potentially into Madrid. And then I think, you know, they could feel pretty good about advancing. So I think at this point, you know, I'm pretty set that it's going to be probably a Madrid, you know, reappearance in the final. And
hope so.
You know, coin toss maybe right now on Dortmund and PSG. You know, taking a quick look at futures, Real Madrid right now still is the leader, you know, plus 120. I think when we looked at him, Nick, a couple rounds ago, you know,
plus 900, plus I think we got.
Was it 900?
There's 700. It was in that.
I think they're like plus 400 because like City was like the favorite at like plus 150.
Oh, this was after the round of 16.
Yeah. Sorry. And then it was like Arsenal and then Madrid. And we liked Madrid at, like, I think it was like around plus 400.
Yeah.
But still plus 120 right now when I think, you know, a win at home and then they'll probably be the favorite against whoever wins in the Dortmund PSG game. Dortmund are plus 600 with a 1-goal lead going to Paris. I mean, that's a good hedge opportunity.
That's a good future, yeah.
If you like Dortmund to advance here, you know, plus 600, you can then stack, you know, three, four units on, you know, Madrid or Bayern at that point, to win. You're going to have a nice little payout. Yeah. And then PSG and Bayern are sitting, PSG's plus 275, Bayern is plus 350. Some interesting numbers still.
So here's a question I have for you guys. Do you think that, so it was like a, I thought Real actually played a decent first half. That second half, they had like, it was like 10 minutes of disaster, right? They gave up a goal, then they gave up a penalty. Did you guys think that was a penalty? I think it was, but I think it was an incredibly soft call.
Yeah, I think that's fair, but it's one of those questions where it's like, you know, people, you try to contextualize it because of like what's going on in the game and like what it means. And like
because of what bet I was holding is really why.
Yeah.
But I'm being honest with you.
I think if you take that away from it, you know, it's at worst a 50-50.
Yeah, I didn't honestly see it. I didn't get to see the highlights. I just listened to what I heard on the radio and saw the scoreline. So I can't really comment.
Yeah, I think it was like definitely a kicking motion towards the attack. I forgot who even had the ball. And you know, it probably should be called
Musiala. I think.
Yeah. Okay. Musiala, right. And I think it should be called, but like, it, like the more you analyze it, you're like, man, okay. Could have really gone either way there, but anyway, outcome of the game 2-2, hell of a game to watch. You know, definitely expect more of the same going home. So the stars have been showing up this Champions League. I mean, I think it's been good. Just generally speaking, I think we've seen some teams progress really far that maybe we didn't expect to. We've seen teams having a down year, like Dortmund and Bayern now here in the semifinals. A lot of goals. You know, we had that one round. I think
it picked up in the quarter.
Yeah, seven, no, I was going to say that round.
Round of 16.
Round of 16, I think, really had a ton of unders, but outside, I mean, group stage games were good. Semis and on have been good, so be interesting to see from here on out how that happens.
Yeah, and what the results are. You know, with the new format next year, you know, like this is we're going into that, was it like 10 game round robin format now? Mm-hmm. So curious to see how that affects style of play in these Champions League matches.
How are they? Are they adding teams? Like, I know we talked a lot about which league is going to get the fifth spot and the coefficient and all this and that. Are they adding teams, or are they just replacing
next season or something?
Yeah, I think there's
definitely more.
Yeah, they're adding, I think, four more team slots. Like, that sounds right.
36. Yeah, the number of clubs are raised from 32 to 36.
Yeah. So
everyone's guaranteed a minimum of 8 games.
More revenue.
I think that might open things up a little bit more too. You know, at least in the first 6 games of that round robin.
Definitely.
Because, you know, obviously goal differential will matter, right? So there's an incentive that if you have a lower, you know, rated team, you know, one of those Dutch teams or from the Czech Republic or whatever, like you want to try to open up a 5 or 6 goal lead, because if you get, you know, stopped by Real Madrid, you know, you can kind of soften that blow.
Right.
So I think it'll open things up. It'll be good. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of like the more games part of it, especially with, you know, being a fan of Liverpool and knowing we have a new manager next year, and like, it'd be nice to have a couple more like full weeks of you know, training and practice to kind of get the team settled into the new formation.
Are they starting earlier, or is it kind of like the same October kicks off?
I think it's relatively the same. Okay. Yeah, I think everything is in the same time frame, and then once that league piece is done. But there's no, like, if you remember, like, usually there's, you know, after the first 3 games, then there's like a week or two, and then the next 3, you know, games come through. I don't think there's any break anymore. I think it just goes straight through.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be a lot of games. You know, if you're a top team and you're in cups and whatever, in, you know, domestic cups, like, you're gonna have a very busy schedule for the first 4 months of the season. But I think that extra team wrinkle right now, it looks like it's going to be Germany and Italy getting that fifth spot at this point. You know, Germany, as you mentioned, Nick, have, you know, 3 teams right now in the semis and in various, you know, stages of the competition.
Yeah, I think Italy is guaranteed now.
Yep. Italy's looks good. I mean, listen, it's kind of funny to think about it, but City, Arsenal, and Liverpool all really choking and not getting the semis of their respective competitions has kind of screwed Tottenham in a little bit, because Tottenham has been sitting in fifth place. They had a great season to start. You know, the first 3 or 4 months, they were in the league or the top of the table of the league. I think a Champions League, you know, return was
yeah, we talked about it, man. That was a buy or sell a couple times.
Yeah, and then they kind of fell apart. You know, they had a really rough injury that match against Chelsea in November, where they just lost like 3 or 4 guys. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Kind of derailed their season. And now they're sitting in fifth, but by a pretty good margin, right? Like, I think they're like 5 or 6 points up on United right now in the table.
They're six up from United.
With a game in hand.
With a game in hand, but they are 7 behind Villa.
So they're really nailed into fifth spot. But it seems like that fifth spot's going to be Europa now, because, you know, the three guys that usually have been, you know, carrying the torch for the Premier League in the last few seasons. Because I think the Premier League has been, you know, a top two coefficient team each of the last five, five seasons. Yeah. Like, like, what do you say to Tottenham fans? Like, are Tottenham fans like right to feel aggrieved by this? Or do you think they just got to suck it up? Like, you should have been like, you know, it's not like they were in Europe, like they couldn't help their own cause.
Right.
So,
yeah. I mean, you, it's always been top four gets you in, right? And now fifth is like a bonus for two leagues. I think you always have to play with the objective of finishing top four if you want to be a Champions League team. And then, you know, like I look at Italy now with Roma, and I'm like, well, if we don't win the Europa League, then that option is there for them or Atalanta, really, because they're in the semifinals of the Europa League. So it's possible Italy could even have six based on what happens in Europa League and how those two finish.
Germany, too, I think.
Yeah. So that's an interesting dynamic as well for leagues like Italy, and then I guess Germany too with the Champions League now. So that could get interesting, but to me that's like a bonus. I think every club has to go in, at least the big ones that have those aspirations have to be top four or bust kind of thing. And then if you get in a different way, that's like, it's kind of like, you know, cake, right? Like, it's like, you know, we didn't expect this revenue to be coming in by finishing fifth, but here it is, and we're going to take it and we're going to run with it and see what we can do with it. But I don't think you can blame the other teams in the league for not winning in Europe and forcing you out as a fifth place team, right? Like that to me, like if you are maybe Tottenham and you reach a European semifinal and then the rest of the league doesn't hold up its end of the bargain and then you kind of miss out because you're battling on two fronts and finish fifth, then maybe you could be a little aggrieved. But if you're not even in Europe to help your own cause, like I think it'd be different if you were saying that from a Roma perspective or an Atalanta perspective. Because the way that those teams in the league has performed, to me, you can't do that if you're Spurs, because you weren't even in Europe to help your own cause, like you said, to get any coefficient points.
It's funny because like now with Italy pretty much locking that up, and it's not exactly the same scenario, but I see a lot of Juve fans chirping like, oh, we carried the league for so many years. And like, yeah, okay, that's technically true. But last 2 years,
Roma carried the league.
Juve got kicked out of the group stage in fucking the Champions League last year, and they weren't in it this year. So, you know, three Italian teams in what, the semifinals and finals. I don't know why they're chirping all of a sudden. I mean, not all of a sudden. They're always chirping.
They also chose not to participate, right? Like,
no, they got
point deduction. Yeah.
Oh, but I thought they finished in like the Conference League, and they said like, no, we're not going to participate in the Conference League.
Am I misremembering that? No, that's they got banned. Like,
was it?
It wasn't their choice.
They had a European ban, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I could say my club has a lot of faults, but helping the Italian coefficient hasn't been one of the last 5 years.
No.
Four European semifinals in a row and five of the last six. So,
no, it's definitely, listen, to just bring it all full circle. I mean, Spurs really only have themselves to blame, right? Yeah. Even, you know, take a look, two straight losses, you know, you turn one or two of those losses around, even this late in the year, you're kind of right back in the thick of things.
Man, so maybe we do have a friend that is a Spurs fan, but like, I want to know, like, what is like the reflection of the season then? Like, do you find this season a success? You know, they certainly look like they've at least found their manager with Postecoglou. Right. But
I think it has to be to an extent from the outside looking in, because like you said, they found the manager. They are going to at least be back in the Europa League, which is not the end of the world for a club like that. Cause that's
when we get Spurs Day back on the calendar. That's the fun part.
You can compete in that competition like you've seen Roma do the last few years, I think, and clubs like that, like tier of club. Like I to me, Spurs in a lot of ways is like the Roma of England from the way they've kind of gone the last like half dozen seasons. It just, they've always felt that way to me since the Kane years, you know, like they're there. They can fight for like second place occasionally. They can make Champions League, but they're just not at the level of like City and Liverpool and United. Yeah. Just like Roma's not on the level of like Juve and the Milan clubs financially and historically speaking and things like that. I don't know. It just has that similar feel. So like if you're in a Europa League, maybe you can go out and win a European trophy or make a deep run. Like I don't think as a Spurs fan, maybe their opinions are different, obviously, because they're on the inside there. Yeah. But, you know, after missing Europe completely last year, I don't think Europa League is the end of the world.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I mean, I think you sold your marquee star striker that you've had for seems like forever, right? You got Richarlison coming off a season of what, one goal that he had all of last year. So, like, I don't know. How high could hopes really have been? Brand new manager. I think, Scott, the point you're probably trying to make, which is valid, is they got off to such a hot start that it probably seems a little bit like a failure. But they're not better than Arsenal. They're not better than City. They're not better than Liverpool. They never were, despite that hot start.
You know, you also have down years from Chelsea, United, and to an extent, Newcastle.
Definitely.
Right? Like, it feels like they failed to capitalize on that. I think Liverpool next year will be a bit down with a new manager, and it sounds like they're going to have to be doing some more overhaul of the squad, which is always going to be, you know, a problem. So maybe they can jump Liverpool next year, but you got to figure, you know, a United or Newcastle should be back in that conversation for a top four spot.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Even last year, right? United and Chelsea have had shit years for what I feel like is going on 3 years now. So to not capitalize on that, not being
Chelsea
Europe 2 years
like
in a row,
that's going
to
be sustainable, though.
Yeah.
I think Chelsea, I don't see Chelsea going anywhere right now. United, I think they're starting to figure things out. They're cutting a lot of that dead wood. Like we've talked about United all the time. Like they've had so many issues in the roster that managers can't solve and that they've got to get these guys out. And I think that is going to finally be at a point where, you know, they've cleaned out a lot of that, you know, crap. And now they have new management, right? New ownership. I think they're probably going to be moving in a positive direction. So I see United being a legit top four team, probably moving forward. Villa, we'll see if they can kind of recreate that magic. We've seen how far West Ham, you know, they've done a similar run where they made Champions League or just missed out on it and then dropped to like 16th the next season. So if Villa can hold on to Ollie Watkins and a lot of the core guys that they've had that made this season so successful, then maybe they can kind of repeat as top four. But I don't know. It's
crowded. Like 3, 4, 5, 6 is really, really crowded.
Yeah. And then I guess in a similar state, like you brought it up, Coach, like Roma is kind of the Tottenham of Serie A, but, you know, Roma are in their own kind of race, even with that fifth spot of, you know, trying to lock down that Champions League slot with Atalanta. Atalanta 2 points less, but they have a game in hand. Like, where do you guys see this finishing out? Is it based off the fixtures of the last, what, you guys have 4 matches left? Or do you think that, you know, Roma better have the points in hand than the game in hand?
It's tough to say because Roma has Juve this week. They have Atalanta head-to-head next week.
That's the game.
I think that's the game, right? Because from what I read this week, that Atalanta makeup match, which is against Fiorentina, likely won't be made up till after the season ends.
The only league on the planet that would allow some ridiculous shit like that to happen, by the way.
Which, when you think about it, that match was postponed quite some time ago. Yeah. You know, when they had the incident happen with Joe Barone, you know, that was a tragedy in itself. But the match has been, you know, postponed for a while now. Whereas you look back at the Roma match against Udinese, which they luckily got all 3 points out of last week when they did make up those last 20 minutes for the Indica incident that happened. Like, they had to make it up the next week.
Yep.
And I'm not saying Fiorentina should have made up the next week against Atalanta, but, you know, I know Atalanta's schedule is a little more crowded because they have the Coppa Italia too. But, I mean, waiting till after the season ends, they might not even have to play that match, right? If spots are locked up already, maybe they don't even have to play it. It gets tricky because it's almost like Atalanta holds that match in hand until the very last minute when they see. Because if they say both teams win out and they draw head-to-head, there they are. They're like, all right, well, now we know we need to play this match. We need all 3 points to win. Fiorentina's going to be like, all right, whatever. Like, yeah, we don't cares? Give a shit. We're in, like, eighth place or whatever. Maybe they win the Conference League, so then they're already in Europa for next year. They don't care. So that aspect makes it tricky, which to me, and it makes it tougher because they still have Juve this week in between the Leverkusen matches. Roma, it's going to be very hard for them to finish fifth if they don't beat Atalanta head to head, I think, because of the scenario of when that Atalanta match will probably be made up, if it is made up. I think that's the trickiest part for Roma to hold on to fifth place. Yeah. Besides the fact that they're playing Leverkusen twice as well.
Their schedule's tough. I mean, terrible. Like you said, you got Juve. They also have Milan in there. I mean, compared to Atalanta, you know, aside
from
Fiorentina,
they don't play Milan. They're done with Milan, Roma. They lost twice in the league to Milan.
Who was I just looking at then? Because I thought I saw
Milan. They have Genoa and Fiorentina, I think. Yeah.
It's a brutal schedule.
It's tough. Yeah, it's not easy.
And we talked about that 2 weeks ago. And to answer your question, Scott, I would always rather have the points than the game in hand. Always. Yeah. Like, give me the two.
Guaranteed points, right?
Right? Because you can't get
two
points
in a match. And that's why Roma's winning those 20 minutes was huge. That Cristante goal last Thursday was huge. That's the two-point difference right there.
But wait, yeah, this Roma-Milan game, is that a club that's a friendly? Is that one of those games they're doing in, like, the Middle East?
Oh,
because it's literally like 3 days after the season's over.
Oh, maybe they're doing something like an Asia. I know they're going to Asia or something. I thought it was the summer, but maybe it's like
May.
After.
It's May 30th. It's like literally
interesting.
Stupid. yeah. Listen, I kind of blurted into Coach Steve's monologue there. Like, Italy is the only league that would allow some ridiculous shit like this to happen. Fiorentina, Atalanta, like, they should have to play that game. They should have played it already. So I think that's insane. But right now, even though Roma has the points, which are important, their schedule is absolutely brutal. Atalanta knows what they need to do head to head. And I forget, who's Atalanta playing in the Europa League?
Marseille.
You have to feel a little bit better about that. I'm not saying it's a cakewalk, but you have to feel better about that than Roma will feel taking on Leverkusen and Juve this weekend. So, like, there's literally for the past 2 weeks and now coming into the remainder of the season, Roma has no easy games. They have no rest. Yeah. They're lucky they went on that run with De Rossi and they won every single game that they had to win. Kudos to Roma because not a lot of teams have done that, right? We've seen Juve drop points. We've seen Milan drop points. We've seen Lazio, Atalanta, Napoli, Fiorentina, whoever. Roma beat who they had to beat. But this was always going to be an uphill battle. They statistically, numerically, whatever you want to say, they have the table position. They have the points. But now we're going to see. I would be shocked if Roma finished ahead of Atalanta, quite honestly.
This is kind of like a weird question to ask, but like, where do you think Roma would be in the table right now if they kept Mourinho for the full season?
Seventh,
honestly,
eighth?
Like eight, somewhere around there.
Honestly,
like
I think they'd be behind Lazio. I'm not even joking. Yeah. I really do.
I really think that that change of manager really made a huge difference in their season. I saw a tweet. I don't remember if I sent it to you guys or my Chiesa di Totti group, but it was, they now have more points under De Rossi to this point in his time. And he took over, I think, the 21st match of the season or so than they had under Mourinho those first 20 matches. So in like
13 games
or something. I'm going to see while you guys are talking if I can find it just to get the exact stat. But it was something to that effect.
Man.
Yeah.
New manager bounce. Like, it helps.
And it's helped Lazio too. I mean, they've won 4 out of their last 5 games. They have as many wins as Roma. Right, their goal differential was negative under Sadi or even. So it's a thing. If you asked me a month ago, would Lazio actually mathematically be able to fight for 6th or 7th place with Fiorentina, with Napoli, with Atalanta, with Bologna ahead of them? I would have said no, no chance. And now somehow Lazio could probably win 3 out of their last 4 and make 7th place or 6th place and make a Europa League.
Yeah, so just to update that. So now that was after the Thursday match against Udinese was complete. So now after the Napoli match, it's 29 points in 20 games for Mourinho, 29 points in 14 for De Rossi. So,
marked improvement.
Six matches less, 4 to go in the league. I'm pretty sure he'll find a point or two somewhere.
Yeah.
At minimum.
Yeah. And I mean, we're kind of at that point in the season where normally, like, it's kind of been a weird year. Like, a lot of things have been locked up and it's, you know, May 1st, but there's still some battles going on, primarily in the relegation area. England, you've got, you know, those 3 new coming clubs that we've kind of talked about a lot already on the pod this season about, you know, hasn't happened, I think, since like 1996, where the 3 newly promoted clubs get immediately sent back down. It seems like their only hope right now is one of them kind of passing Nottingham Forest in the table. The only 2 that really have a chance at this point are Luton and Burnley. I think Burnley are dead. But Luton maybe have an outside chance. I think they've got 2 home games. Their schedule is a little bit softer. They have Everton, West Ham, and Fulham. Whereas Nottingham Forest, they have Sheffield, which is not so bad. It's usually a pretty easy win, but they also have to play Chelsea and then Burnley. I don't know. I'm of the opinion that it's better to have these two home games kind of going into the last three games in a relegation battle, because we've seen it with Everton a couple times. Like, that atmosphere really changes things.
Yep.
But so many times I've said this, like, I think Luton are poised to make a run here. I mean, offensively, they look okay, like better than most, but their defense has been horrid for, you know, better part of 4 months now. Am I crazy in thinking that Luton still have a chance in this? Or do you think, like, you know, at this point, it's done and dusted? Sheffield United, who, by the way, are only in this point or in this position right now because they had a points deduction. Do they actually have something to be worried about going into these last three games of the season?
Man. Luton haven't been good, right? But neither has Forest. Like, yeah. Forest has been equally bad. And I think it, you know, to have the point, I guess 1 point with three games remaining, like, it might seem little, but it's actually quite massive. It does give you that advantage, right? You just need to match your opponent's results.
They also have goal differential advantage too. So even if Luton pick up a draw on them, like, they're still safe.
But I know it sounds
and
dumb.
I like Forest's schedule better too, besides the Chelsea match. But going to Sheffield and going to Burnley by that point is relegated in the last match of the season. Don't see much for them to play for against Forest.
Luton, your home versus Everton. Everton are pretty much safe at this point.
Yeah.
Going to West Ham. West Ham have been bad. Their defense has been just as bad. So that one will be a fun game to watch, I think. You'll see lots of goals there. And then you're home to Fulham, when Fulham have had nothing to do for the last 2 months.
Yeah, you could get those mid-table teams maybe, or sometimes the best teams to play. That is true.
Home is so... It's key. I think that's like the most important thing right now. And Nottingham Forest, like, yeah, you're playing Sheffield, but you're going to Sheffield on the road. And then, yeah, you have to play, Chelsea at home, but then you have to go on the road to Burnley. And that game, by the way, like, Burnley, I think they're toast, but if they're not, like, that game, Burnley Nottingham Forest becomes massive, right? Like, it could be, hey, you win this game, you're safe. You lose this game, you're gone. So,
do we have odds for?
I can grab
for Luton to stay up. Because that would be hella fascinating. Let's see. To be relegated.
Team futures.
Relegated. Yeah.
So Forest to get relegated is plus 180. Luton is minus 450. Burnley minus 800. So
we can't bet for them to stay up.
Can't bet for them to stay up. No.
See, that would be the fun one.
But
right?
if you want Luton to get to stay up,
you're betting Forest
to get relegated.
Forest to get relegated.
Okay. Yeah.
Plus 180.
I could kind of buy that. I think with three games left, I would be interested in a plus 180 future. I could buy that. Surprise, buy or sell. I bought it.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this one. While we're on the odds, I'm looking at team futures. I'm looking to finish top four. Villa's minus 700. Spurs is plus 450. But the caveat there is that Spurs have two matches in hand.
They do, but one of them is against City, and City has to win everything. I think that's a loss.
I don't.
They're also going to Liverpool this weekend.
I looked at that before I looked at the schedule. Not an easy schedule.
If it were four or five points, Liverpool, I would be semi-interested, but no, I can't buy that with 7 points.
Because even if you win those two in hand, you still have to make a point somewhere. And you got some heavyweight teams mixed in there.
There's points dropped there. Aplenty.
Yeah. Who's Villa have? Brighton, Liverpool, and Crystal Palace with the Olympiacos. Two legs mixed in.
Yeah, I mean, you basically
the only hope they have, is
the three points probably does it. Four definitely does.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in Italy, I think the relegation battle a little bit more interesting. We kind of talked about it, I think, or you guys talked about it a couple podcasts ago, but you've got Udinese looking to try to make a great escape. I think they're 2 points back behind three teams, all tied at 31 points: Empoli, Frosinone, and Verona. This still feels very much like a true four dog race for who potentially gets that last relegation spot. Do you guys have a strong feeling either way right now? Like, do you really think Udinese with that 2 point disadvantage is that's pretty much, you know, it for them? Or, you know, with the way that maybe Empoli or Verona or Frosinone are playing, like, are they going to play themselves into a pretty tough situation going into the last match?
I'm going to do something I really don't want to do because I don't like them. I would like for them to go down. I do think Udinese get out of this. And I think of all the teams you mentioned, they probably have the best defense. I think the offense is negligible, but they only have 4 wins, right? So the interesting thing, Empoli, Frosinone, Hellas, Cagliari, these teams all have 7 wins. But Udinese gets points, but we've talked about them all year. They have 17 draws. I mean, like, that's
true.
That's insanely resourceful for a team to give themselves a chance. If you look at their schedule to close out the year, they're playing these teams head to head. Now they have a game against Napoli this weekend. I don't expect much. Could they get a draw? Possibly. You're playing Lecce head to head. You're playing Empoli head to head. You're playing Frosinone head to head. So this literally, like, you couldn't ask for,
I say they have the perfect
better schedule. You know, you win
until they draw those games, because that's what they do.
Right. Which they could, but you beat one of them head to head, beat Frosinone head to head, and you draw the other two. You're probably in a decent spot.
So, Nick, I'm going to correct you, because against all odds, of those four teams, the team with the best defense is Verona. Only 45 goals allowed all season long. Yeah.
Impossible.
Yeah, crazy. 51 for Udinese, 50 for Empoli, 63 for Frosinone, Verona 45, a pretty decent distance between them.
And they're only in this position because they beat Udinese head to head like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So Udinese has the best schedule in terms of playing two of the teams directly ahead of them head to head. Those two teams also play each other this weekend head to head. Empoli and Frosinone play head to head. So if there's a draw there and Udinese can find a win against Napoli at home, which isn't outside the realm of possibility based on the way Napoli's played this year, it's unlikely, but it could happen. They could find themselves out of the relegation zone by this weekend, which would be something. It is a fascinating relegation battle, though, when you think about it, that so many teams are still so close to it. I mean, Cagliari in 14th is only 3 points out of it. They just have so many teams between them and the relegation zone that they in theory should be safe. So it's really 5 teams for one spot right now until they save themselves.
But I'll hit you with a wild card, kind of 2 spots, because Sassuolo's mathematically kind of right on par, and they've been terrible and I've hated them all year. And that's another team I'd be very okay with going down. You're playing Cagliari head to head. I mean, that, you know, can you turn your season around with that one head to head win and get some points off of, listen, they play Inter. I'm not expecting much.
So they have to play Inter.
They have to play Genoa. Tough game. Lazio last game of the year. Lazio's more than likely going to need a win. It's not likely, but is it possible? I mean, if you're Sassuolo and you grab 4 or more points.
I'm going to say Sassuolo's dead.
I hope they are. I really hope they are. Yeah. But
I think they're doornail.
I mean, to your point, you were talking about the best defense of the teams that we were discussing. The reason why Sassuolo and Salernitana are where they are is because they don't play defense. 70 and 73 goals conceded. Everyone else besides Frosinone with their 63 conceded is around 50 or less. So Frosinone, in that sense, with the defense conceding, they could be the team in danger. The thing is, they score a bit more than Empoli and Udinese, which has kind of kept them afloat, so to speak, for the time being. But it should be interesting because they play Udinese head-to-head. They play Empoli head-to-head. So we have 3 of these teams going head-to-head against each other with 4 weeks left. Yeah. So that's what makes this even more interesting. I mean, the schedule makers didn't know this was going to happen.
Or did they?
But it worked out very well for them. The only team that doesn't play any of these others head-to-head is Hellas. They have Fiorentina, Torino, Salernitana, and Inter. That's tough.
Everybody's got a tough schedule, dude. That's
There's no easy matches this season is what it feels like, except for Salernitana. So Hellas has to kind of go to work there and then maybe eke out a result somewhere else, I think, and they should be okay.
Can you guys pick 2 teams? If you had to say it's going to come down to this team and this team, like, who would those 2 teams be?
You got to say it. Can't pick if you don't say
Gun
it.
To the head.
Gun to your head.
Gun to your head.
If I'm going to say, I think Sassuolo is down. I'm assuming they're going to be down because they're... Yeah. You know, they got a 5-point gap to make up. So I'm going to say it comes down to, if there is a loser this weekend in that Frosinone-Empoli match, I think it comes down to that team and Udinese. Mm. I think that's who it comes down to. And I think Empoli is the home side, I believe, this weekend. So I'm going to give them the slight edge, and I'm going to say it comes down to Frosinone and Udinese.
So this is what I'll say. I personally want Udinese to go down. I'd be okay with Hellas going down because we've just been shitting on them for 3 years. If they stay up, great. We'll fade them for another season. Frosinone, at the beginning of the year, we talked about it. I think they were like -300 to get relegated. the fact that they're not like a slam dunk automatic go down is kind of a credit to them in week 34, right? We're in May.
They're also sitting in like fifth place in like beginning of October or like sixth place. They're like, they were way up there.
Absolutely were. And they had a team when we recorded at the time, and they did some loan moves late, and they got some players that, you know, other teams were sitting on the bench for, like Juve or Milan or some teams like that. The fact that Frosinone isn't a slam dunk to go down, I think, is a little bit of a credit to them. But like, could I see a scenario where all of a sudden it's them? Like you said, they lose head to head to Empoli. Udinese gets a couple of results. Frosinone goes down, and everybody's like, "Oh yeah, well, no shit. They were minus 300 to go down. Of course they went down."
And Udinese, like Everton in the recent years in the Premier League, they just seem to find ways to stay up. Since I've been watching the league, I don't think they've been down in Serie B. In the mid-2000s, I don't think they've been down. They've been close very
I think they said it's 20-something years that they've been up.
Yeah. Yeah, which is about how long I've been watching the league. So the last couple of years has been dicey for them. But
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they just find their way out. Yeah.
I was going to say Frosinone, Udinese, I think those are the two that I think it comes down to. Even though Frosinone unbeaten in their last, what, five or six games?
Yeah.
So maybe they have enough.
Last thing I want to say, I know, listen, we're going long. We're having some fun. Yeah. Just to put the final bow on the Premier League, is it just City at this point in time? Like, do we agree they've got the game in hand? They're 1 point behind Arsenal. They're out of the Champions League. Does City just steamroll it from this point forward, or do you give Arsenal a chance?
No, it seems like it. I think, you know, the remaining schedule, even from like 2 weeks ago, was pretty loose. I think the key game is going to be Tottenham midweek this week, this week or next week?
Yeah. Next 14th, week. Not till the 14th.
Yeah, yeah. So they've got another new week to prepare for. But that's going to be the key one. They have to go to Tottenham. They have to get a win there. Tottenham has been a bogey team for them. But, you know, aside from that, like, you know, Wolves, Fulham, West Ham, like, those are all very easy winnable games. So I don't think there's going to be much there. And Arsenal, honestly,
Arsenal doesn't slip up against United or somebody.
Correct. Arsenal still have to go to Old Trafford. Like I said, I think United are kind of getting their shit together.
I mean, if they're ever going to get up for a game. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe not because City, but I felt like Arsenal.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to say this is the meanest thing I can say to City. There's a longer standing rivalry between United and Arsenal.
That's kind of where my head was.
So, I think that'll be probably a tightly contested game, tighter than what, you know, City will have to face. I think if City goes to Spurs and they like come out and get like a goal or two in the first half, I think that game's over. I don't think Spurs fight back.
Coach, Arsenal plus 225. Will you use a free bet on them?
I don't think so.
No, I agree.
As much as I'd like to see them beat out City, just because I'm so tired of City, I don't think it happens unless, like Scotty said, unless Spurs continue to be the bogey team they've been. But then you still need a perfect run from Arsenal.
What's the incentive for Spurs to beat City there? What's their incentive to help Arsenal out?
Yeah,
here's
that's another one. Yeah,
the burning question I have for the two of you, and it's wild because like Twitter, especially social media in general, has really warped my view on a lot of teams over the past couple of years. Who has worse fans, City or Arsenal?
City.
I think it's City just because they're like, most of those people are like fans that started following the club. So, you know,
it's Arsenal. Arsenal fans right now are like, they are so, they think they belong. They think they're the greatest and they haven't won anything.
Here's why, Nick, because when Arsenal were really, really bad, if you watched, like there was a channel like Arsenal Fan TV, and very popular, has millions of subscribers, but they would basically go and interview the fans after the games or they would lose. And it was literally like must watch like viewing. Like when Arsenal would choke away like a very winnable game and there was the Wenger out crowd, like they would go and interview the fans. And seeing that, like I kind of enjoy that part of the fan group. Like they're very like aware and like they laugh at each other. And so that's why I'm okay with it. City, they aren't aware, right? Like they just lack this awareness. They literally like will be, you know, maybe somewhat tongue in cheek, you know, calling Nottingham Forest cheaters and like calling them, you get what you get, you get what you deserve. And it's like, you know, I can't stand that piece of it. Like there's really no, like they have this sense of entitlement that's not deserved. Arsenal at least have earned their sense of entitlement with having a lot more success in the last, you know, 30 plus years. So I will I'll say I think City fans.
Hey, I can understand hating City and City fans the same way I hate PSG and PSG fans. Yeah, so exactly. I understand that viewpoint.
Yeah. All right. Should we get to picks?
Let's do it.
I think so. Yeah.
Locks of the week. All right. I'll kick things off. I mean, you guys are going to yell at me because this is a pick against Liverpool, but Liverpool will be hosting Tottenham this week. Tottenham draw no bet. This is going to be my first lock of the weekend. It's sitting at plus 340. Like it's a crazy line. It's an absolute banana. Like even in the best of times, Tottenham and Liverpool have been closer contested than this. Liverpool are in a complete disarray. They've been really bad since international break last 4 or 5 weeks, to the point where there's actual like drama and like antics, you know, happening off the field surrounding, you know, Salah and Klopp. And it's just been bad. Like it's been borderline unwatchable, to the point where I think last weekend was the first time I didn't watch the Liverpool game. Like I was golfing and then normally I'll come back and watch it without spoilers. But based off of the text that I'd gotten from the group chat, I was like, this one's not worth me going back and rewatching. So yeah. No, I was happy.
You got to warn us. Let us know.
Yeah. No. It was fine. You guys saved me 90 minutes of my life on a Saturday, a very busy weekend. So I'm going to go ahead and say, listen, Tottenham, very likely to get a result in this one. You know, the draw no bet gives me a little bit of protection here. Plus 340. I mean, you're getting a 3-1 payout on this. Like, it's impossible for me to pass up. So I'm taking it. I'm going to try to set that record still for biggest single win on the pod for the season. I got a couple weeks left to get that. Yep. And I think this is probably my best shot.
Okay, so like this is where I love you and this is where I hate you. And this is like a question I pose to everybody, I pose to the audience. Let's pretend that we agree with Scott's pick and his logic and that Tottenham's going to come out and get something from this game. I understand plus 340 and I agree with you. For what it's worth, it is an incorrect number for the books to put out there. I think it's a little disrespectful. Why aren't we taking Tottenham plus 1.25 for close to even money? And you're turning a potential draw into it. No, I understand that, but I'm just saying, like, if somebody's listening to this, and you can debate all you want on how right or wrong we've been this year, we've been a little bit more right than wrong. But just from a betting standpoint, like my style is I'm always going to give me the spread. Give me the fucking goals that turn this into a win or a half win. Yeah, I might not get the plus 340, but I'll give up couple bucks to turn it into a winner.
Go for the glory.
It's my two cents. Right, Coach,
what do you got? All right.
I am going to go to Inter Milan team total over 2.5 plus 145 at Sassuolo. Inter locked up the league title, so you'd think they might be on cruise control against the Sassuolo side fighting relegation that has so much to play for. But if Inter will get up for any match the rest of the way, it's going to be this one. Sassuolo gave into their only league loss early in the season, so I expect the Nerazzurri to be extra motivated to avenge that defeat against the Nerazzurri side that just shipped 5 to Fiorentina. This number was just too good for me to pass up. At plus 145, if they don't hit 3, they don't hit 3, I'll take the loss. But I think they turn up for this one just because, you know, it's their only loss in what has been an outstanding league season. I think they just turn up and Sassuolo has given up 70 goals this season. I'd see them giving up at least 2, probably 3 more here.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you. I like the play. I'm hoping this doesn't fall into the Man City 2-0 win last week category. That's just my only hope for it.
Yeah, it could. But I could take it for plus 145.
Yeah, fair enough. Coach, I got to go against your squad this week, and it's not, I have to break some rules for this one. They're playing Juventus.
A lot of rules
for this one. Juve draw no bet. Juve pick them minus 115 at Roma. And this has way more to do with Roma than it does Juve. We talked about it. Roma has an absolutely brutal schedule. By the time you listen to this episode, they will have already played Leverkusen. And I think Juve pretty much cements top 4 with a win in this game. So we have to unban Juve for this one game. I think even a draw is probably acceptable to both. But I think Roma just is, they have to be out of gas or they have to be conserving some sort of energy for this, the rest of the stretch here. They haven't looked nearly as good. I'd be really shocked if they pulled off the win. It'd be fun to see if they did. But a Juve draw no bet, there's just too much value on him for this game.
All right. I'm going to go antithesis to Nick's pick here. I'm going to go with a team that's won the pod a lot of monies in the recent years. I'm going with Newcastle money line at Burnley. It's now even money. It was minus 110 earlier today. It's up to plus 100, so grab it now. Like I said, Burnley are toast. I think they're pretty much done. They're due for relegation. A really disappointing season from them. But what's maybe being missed in this is that since this international break in March, Newcastle have actually been really, really good. They're 4-1-1 in the league. Alexander Isak has been on fire. I think he's got like 5 or 6 goals in that time frame. So I think I'm going to bet on him getting a couple goals here against Burnley, sinks their relegation hopes, and puts that final nail in the coffin.
All right. I am going to the Bundesliga for my last two picks. The first one is going to be Stuttgart moneyline plus 105 hosting Bayern Munich. Last weekend, I made the mistake of taking Dortmund in a tough matchup against RB Leipzig ahead of their Champions League semifinal match against Real PSG. This weekend, I'm doing the opposite with Bayern and taking Stuttgart at home, with Bayern having to travel to Madrid for the second leg. I think this is a spot where Stuttgart is looking to lock up a Champions League spot. Bayern is safe in a Champions League spot. They've got everything to play for on Tuesday or Wednesday, whichever day they play. And I just like Stuttgart at home at plus money here.
Yes. That's what you should have done last week. I love it.
You live and you learn.
All right. I have to do something. Another thing I really don't like to do, and that is put our money in the hands of Fiorentina. But they're plus 125. They're taking on Hellas. We talked about Hellas. Hellas may go down. They may not. I'm not really trying to take the recency bias, but they did score 5 goals last week. They do have 2 wins in a row. They're playing well in the Conference League. And we just, anytime you give me the opportunity to fade Hellas Verona at plus money, I have to take it. Now or never for Fiorentina to make some noise and try to make a push. Plus 125.
All right. I will wrap things up with my final lock of the week. I'm going with a weird team total. It's Wolves team total over 0.5 goal, and it's because they're at Manchester City, and it's plus 120. I'm going to acknowledge this is probably a rat line. It seems crazy to just score a goal is plus 120. I get that City are favored by 3, so they're probably going to roll over Wolves in this one. But look, at the end of the day, Wolves' offense is not that bad. They've actually scored a goal in 8 of their last 13 games and 5 of their last 8 road matches. So data's telling me there's better than 50% chance that this hits. Anything can happen. Penalty kicks, random handballs, random deflections off of corners, you name it. I think there's a good chance that we get a goal from Wolves here. So at plus 120, it's worth a shot.
Scotty plus money.
All right. I'm also going plus money with my last pick. So I'm going 3 plus money bets here. And it is Freiburg draw no bet at Cologne. Cologne's winless in 3, hasn't kept a clean sheet in their last dozen. Freiburg hasn't played well of late either, but they know that points are needed to hold off Augsburg and Hoffenheim for a European place. I'm taking the team fighting for Europe over the team likely to be relegated. I'm taking Freiburg draw no bet at plus 110.
Yeah, and I think just generally speaking, like, good strategy, right? Just situationally, what you just said, it hasn't really worked out for us the past couple of weeks. Like, there have been some weird results, but I think the logic is sound. I think we got to continue to do it. I'm kind of doing the same thing with my last one. It's Bologna, draw no bet, minus 110. They are at Torino. Same kind of thing, right? They stumbled last week against Udinese. They had a red card. They did get the draw, but they have points in 13 out of their last 14 matches. Looking to get points to solidify a top 4 or top 5 spot. They're currently in 4th. And Torino is the definition of mid-table. They've been mid-table for, what, 10 plus years now, coach, would you say?
Yeah.
They're going nowhere. They have nowhere to go up. They have nowhere to go down.
But they 31 score, 31 allowed in 34 matches. They're just mid,
they are the definition of mid. And they're winless in their last 4. So Bologna to at least get a point, they should definitely be gunning for all 3. Minus 110, draw no bet.
All right. And then we'll close things out with the pod lock of the week. It's 19-10-2 after a win last week, thanks to Real Madrid.
Clutch.
Plus 7.3 units on the season. So this thing has still been a pretty consistent performer for us. This week, we are taking Aston Villa team total over 1.5 at Brighton. Brighton have been really bad lately. We didn't really talk about this in the pod, but they're quietly sitting in 14th place right now, which is crazy to think based off of where they've been the last few years. They've won just 1 game since the beginning of February. Really tough times. You know, the injuries have caught up to them, and it's starting to show. They've allowed 2+ goals in 7 of their last 10 opponents. So that's including Roma in the Europa League. Manchester City, Liverpool, Arsenal have all managed 2 goals in the last 4 weeks against Brighton. So I think you can add Villa to that list since they've also been in that top 4 conversation. So should be a pretty easy one for us. Over 1.5 at Brighton at -105. That's the pod lock of the week.
Love it. All right, guys, appreciate you listening. That's going to wrap it up. As always, shares, likes, comments, retweets, YouTube subscriptions, all of it is very much appreciated. You know, we've definitely been making money over the past couple of years, but hopefully you guys are having some fun learning a little bit about betting. Please share it with your friends. Appreciate the support. We will catch you next week.